NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lay. Zer. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2023 Wells Fargo Championship, coming at you on a Tuesday because, well, my internet sucks. So that's where we're at here. We almost didn't even come in at all this week. It's just it's a lot went on behind the scenes just for my 12 podcasts I do. So we are back. We're, a couple weeks off here for, I think there was golf. I don't know. There might have been golf. Maybe. There's real golf this week, though, Wells Fargo. So we'll talk about that. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, my friend?
I'm good. It's been a month since we recorded because after the Masters, I went to Florida. And then we said, fuck the next 2 weeks. the next 3 weeks, really. Well, no. Yeah, because the Heritage, I missed the Heritage because I was in Florida.
Because you're on vacation.
The two golf tournaments after the Heritage were something else.
I think I would rather play Corn Ferry events.
Yeah, it's been a weird schedule. I feel like, they should have, after the Masters, maybe put that team event there and that, then the Heritage.
Either one.
I don't know.
Yeah. Give everybody a breather.
Yeah.
And I was listening to, I think it was Mayo's podcast yesterday, and he was kind of running down how there's a fatigue probably setting in, because there's only 21 of the top 30 this week here. Where, and it's an elevated event, where in the past it's 48 of the top 50 in the world. You don't miss anybody at these. But
the Heritage is really strong, minus Rory.
He was the only one in the top 30 or 50 or something. It was loaded. And that was a good watch. That was fun. If we want to talk about Heritage from a month ago, I'm in, but I don't think anybody wants to listen to that. But
the odd thing is Quail is a great place. It's a wonderful golf course. Yeah, I'm surprised that everybody didn't show up. I see why Rom didn't.
Yeah,
because he had to go defend his title in Mexico. I guess
that's what he said. First, we like the Heritage after the Masters. There's another elevated event right. I guess the Travelers on right after the U.S. Open in a couple of weeks.
Makes sense.
Like they did it again. I'm like, fuck. Jesus Christ. And because Maya was breaking down the schedule of why so many guys missed this week, because A, they're burned out. B, we have a Texas event, which, like, you know, Scheffler and all the boys will be at. And then it's like back to back Texas events, I think. Like, again, it's Byron Nelson and something else. And then they have like the U.S. Open. And then
you have the PGA Championship coming up, right?
That's what it is. Yeah, they have all kinds of. It's just the scheduling. They really need to sit, like, get Rory and the boys, whoever they're listening to, with all this shit, and just sit down and go, hey, how can we make this so you guys play it and still are, you know, good?
Like, yeah, so you got Byron Nelson next week. Then the weekend after that is the PGA Championship.
So that's what it is. And then there's I think there was RBC Canadian, where so many RBC guys, it's like the week before the U.S. Open. So they're all going to play RBC Canadian Open, even though it's not an elevated event.
And that's the week after the Memorial, which everybody will play.
So he was breaking it down. It's like everyone will play the Memorial because it's Jack's place, elevated event. Then a lot will play the RBC because there's so many sponsors, plus they want to play the week before a major. Then you have the U.S. Open. Then you have the elevated Travelers. It's just a freaking...
Yeah, but then we're going to be back in a similar spot after the Travelers, where it's Rocket Mortgage, John Deere, Barbasol, the Scottish Open, and then you'll be getting into the Open Championship.
Well, at least
crazy how fast this season just goes by, though.
Well, at least those tournaments, like, you know, we go to Detroit, we go to Minneapolis and stuff. I don't mind those tournaments. At least they're fun tournaments. The fields might not be as good, but at least they'll be entertaining. It's going to be what's going to be really interesting. The more you think about how quickly the season's going, is when fall comes, since there's really no fall swing. Yeah. That's going to be the interesting part.
Yeah.
So,
which I'm not mad about.
No, I enjoy it, but at the same time, like, it's going to be a different vibe, to say the least, when that all shakes out. And then to the Rom thing, he was on. He did a lot of rounds after he won the majors, the Masters, of course. But he did the Colt Nost podcast with Sleazy, and he's been on there like three or four times. Like, they're good buddies, I guess, living in Arizona together. And he broke down his schedule. He's like, I haven't had 2 weeks off in a row, and blah blah blah. He's like, I feel like I need to defend my championship in Mexico. Then I'm taking Wells off. He's taking next week off too. And then he's going to get ready to go, like, Players Championship and so on and so forth. So he's taking a little breather. Then he's going to rock and roll again, it looks like. So
don't blame him.
He's earned it. He's earned it, that's for sure. But all right, Quail Hollow, awesome place. Our buddy Kev knows it very, very well. Webb knows it very, very well, but I didn't see Webb in the field.
He is in the field.
Oh, he is? He must be too cheap for me to notice. A lot of red on the – must be a lot of red on my –
7,200.
7,200. That one, I'm just curious. Where does he rank out now? $7,200 that I just passed right over Webb Simpson. 122nd in my model.
There you go.
That's why I went right past him. Let's get some past event history on a very, very fun tournament.
Yeah. So last year, this was played at TPC Potomac, which is in Maryland. Max Homa won 8 under, 2 shots over. Keegan, Fitzpatrick, Cam Young. Doesn't really matter. 2021 was at Quail Hollow. And that was Rory. He won 10 under, 1 shot over Abraham Answer, RIP. 2020 was canceled due to COVID. 2019, again, at Quail, Max Homa won 15 under, 3 shots over Joel Dahlman. 2018, at Quail, Jason Day won 12 under, 2 shots over Nick Watney and Aaron Wise. 2017 was at Eagle Point Golf Club in Wilmington, North Carolina. Brian Harman won that. And then James Hahn won this in 2016. Rory has won this tournament 3 times, all 3 times at Quail. So obviously likes that. Other past champions, J.B. Holmes, Derek Ernst, Ricky Fowler, Lucas Glover, Sean O'Hare, Anthony Kim. A weird mix of people there who have won. There's not like one particular kind of golfer. Like that James Hahn, I remember that because he beat fucking Roberto Castro in a playoff.
Yeah, those are two names, you know. Wow.
Yeah.
One guy defends live but plays for the PGA Tour. Another guy, he plays somewhere.
I don't know. I think he's just on Twitter.
Yeah, Roberto he's Castro. Actually pretty good on Twitter. I'll give him that much for, like, you know, not being the biggest of name. He's pretty good on Twitter. I'll give him that. Yeah, lots of history, like you mentioned. This is a very, very popular place. And the difference in the winners, as you kind of mentioned, it's a lot to do about the golf course that is Quail Hollow. It's, you know, it's been renovated three different times now. You know, they've had the majors there, you mentioned. They had the President's Cup there. There's been a lot of that going on. It's a par 71, over 7,500 yards. It's a big boy golf course. Three par fives, five par fours. There are five of the par fours are over 480. Obviously, there's more than five par fours. There's there'll be 11 par fours on this golf course. One of the key stats will be par fours, 450 to 500. Obviously, if over half, basically half of the par fours are 480 plus, that tells you a lot. Long iron play will be very important. This is a grip it and rip it bombers course, but you still like the rough is not as penal for this event as it would be for, you know, a major or whatnot, but it's still looking around 2 inches of rough, which, you know, not bad. It's just kind of average overall. Water is on six holes. I don't remember that being a big issue unless you get real wonky on some of them, but bomb it. Just don't bomb it too crazy out of play. And you need to be really good around the green. Bogey avoidance is huge. Yeah, it's just course history is going to be big, except at the same time, you mentioned the Potomac thing. That's going to skew a lot of people when they see those recent events there. But yeah, for the most part, bombers is what I'm looking at. And then guys that can, you know, long iron play, bogey avoidance. What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, it's very similar. Par five scoring matters, I think. It is a tough track because it is super long, and your winning score there is for the last 4 years has been between 10 and 15. So it's more like Jack's Place, the Memorial, as far as its difficulty. It's not, you know, just a birdie fest type of play. So putting doesn't necessarily matter as much. Obviously, you still want guys to putt, but I've been to this golf course for the Wells Fargo. I think it was the year that maybe the year that James Hahn won. But either way, I've been there and I've been to Augusta, and they're similar in their look and just the feel of the golf course. Of course, there's a lot more water on Quail than there is at Augusta, but just from like the just aesthetic, just viewing the places, they look very similar. They don't play necessarily exactly the same, but both of them are, I mean, obviously two of the best golf courses in the country.
I know some of the comps that are thrown around also, if you go to the West Coast, Torrey and Riviera, just because of the length.
I could see that,
kind of difficulty there. And there's like crossovers. Obviously, Hahn has won at Torrey and Wells. Homa has won at all three. You can go down the list. There's a lot of guys that have kind of at least succeeded at one of those two West Coast, if not both, and played well at Quail. So something else you can look at, just because it's just those are courses where bombers have an advantage, but you still have to be in the fairway. Like if you're too wayward, those places will eat you alive, where Quail can do the same thing, of course. Like I don't think it's as bad as, say, a Riviera where you're in the trees or something, but you can still get in trouble for sure. All right, let's do it. DK time. We got four guys over $10,000. I got Rory McIlroy at 11-1, coming off his hiatus for personal reasons. Xander Schauffele at 10-7, Patrick Cantlay at 10-5, and Tony Finau at 10-2, coming off the big dub in Mexico. What do you like in this top range?
Did you see who's on Cantlay's bag now?
Yes, Mr. Joe LaCava. And I think I quote tweeted it and stuff, is it's an official full-time move. Tiger gave his blessing to Joe to go, because that makes me wonder, Jesse, how long is Tiger out for?
Well, it, like the last that I saw on Twitter, of course, so take it for what it's worth, but like it was going to be maybe Augusta next year at the earliest.
Yeah.
That he would be able to come back after that surgery he had to basically repair his foot. It sucks in a way, maybe, but maybe LaCava can speed fucking Patrick Cantlay up a little bit. Of these guys, I mean, I wouldn't talk anybody out of playing any of them. Obviously, Rory's got the course history, won here three times. Hard to argue with that. But I kind of am leaning just towards Xander. My model likes him quite a bit. He finished 14th here in 21, 72nd here in 18. and is coming off a fourth place finish at the Heritage, 10th at the Masters, two elevated events, and has just been playing really solid golf. And he's got the length off the tee. He's got the iron game, and this is not a putting fest. So I'm going to say Xander up here. I don't know that I'll play any of these guys above 10K, though.
Yeah, I'm not like, you know, Finau's, he's played well here. He's, you know, coming off the W. If you look at past events here, and you got to kind of, like you said, 2022 Potomac, kind of ignore that. His miscut, 60th, 21st, and his three previous at Quail. But good form, I'll still pass, as you said. Like, to me, it's Xander. Like, I'm not playing Rory. If people want to flock to Rory, that's fine. If he figures it out this week, kudos. PGA Splits had an awesome stat that you look at, like, course horses, guys that have gained the most strokes consistently at certain golf courses. It's like Tiger at Bay Hill, Cantlay, I think, at the Memorial. And or no, it was Rory second at Wells Fargo, and then Cantlay was like third at the Memorial, something like that. And it just shows you he loves this golf course, but his form right now is a freaking disaster. And who knows what's going on between the ears. So I'll stay away. Xander is a very intriguing one. I think that's the way to go. But I'll be contrarian in this range, at least in my mind. I got ownership projections up here. And right now, Cantlay is actually the second highest projected here behind
Rory. What I'm showing too.
Yeah, which surprises me. Like, I didn't even look at that until after I said it. But I still like Cantlay quite a bit here. Coming in really, really good form. He has not played great here. That's a given. He missed cut in 2020. Usually just doesn't play here. He's not a big like East Coast guy. Obviously, he doesn't have to be. But third at the Heritage, 14th at the Masters. You know, Heritage wasn't one he usually plays either. He's been playing these big events. He's playing good golf, showing that he is one of the best in the world. So I think Patrick Cantlay at 10-5, if I want to go, is the direction I would go. The new bag's interesting, but Joe LaCava is the freaking G. So I'm not worried about that transition at all. But I think I'd go Cantlay at 10-5 if I go up here. But I'm kind of like you looking at this, especially when I was, you know, checking off who I like this week based on stuff. I really don't like the 6K range. We're usually in these elevated events. Yeah. There's a ton to like using these elevated events. It doesn't feel that way this week.
No.
So I'm kind of like, let's start in the 9K range probably.
One of the reasons is because like the last few elevated events, I think have been like 130 maybe. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right? 130 players. Mm-hmm. And this one's like a full field 152.
Yeah, it's 150. So. Yeah. Because of the longer days, they stretched it out, let more people come and play. I totally forgot his name. It's going to probably stupid audio to even say it. But he finished, I think, like top five or something at Korn Ferry over the weekend. And drove to the qualifier and qualified for this week. There's a chance to play for 20 mil. That's pretty I totally forget his name. It's going to bug me. I'll find it later.
I'll probably tell you. Hang on. We'll just continue on, and I'll tell you here.
It was a Monday qualifier guy tweeted it out earlier. 9K range. We got Colin Morikawa at $9,800. If we could ever learn how to putt, we know the drill there. Jordan Spieth at 96. Homa at 94. You know, he's won here two out of the last 3 years. The form is oof right now, but we'll see. You got Fitzpatrick at 93 coming off his Heritage dub. Vic Hovland at 92. Sungjae 91. And then Jason Day at 9,000. So it's a pretty fun range. Why? Makes you kind of like, yeah, I don't know if I need to go to the 10K.
Yeah, for sure. So circling back real quick, it's either Danny Guys, Ryan Cole, Trace Crow.
No, I'll look it up now while you talk.
Pass it on to you then.
Yep.
So for me, there's a couple things here. And number one, like the guy that I want to play the most in this range, and it's because of ownership projections. One of the cool things about us doing this on a Tuesday instead of a Monday is we do get to talk ownership because they're out by now. I usually don't have them until Tuesday. So Max Homa at $9,400. I know he won last year, different course, but he's won at Quail. He won here in 2019. Come off a miscut at the Heritage. Not a great showing at the Masters, but was playing really solid golf before that. And the Masters, he's just not had very much success there. I give him a pass the week after, whatever. I really like Max Homa this week at 9,400. Jordan Spieth, I think, is playable. My only worry about Jordan is just a little bit of the driver. You do really want to keep it in the fairway at this golf course because the rough can get pretty thick. But obviously his short game is typically pretty good. Vic Hovland as well is another guy who I do like at 9,200. Third here in 2021, hasn't missed a cut since the Scottish Open back in July. So he's playing really good golf. And then Jason Day, past winner here he missed the cut here the last time it was at Quail, which was 21, but he was kind of on the struggle bus at that point. He's got good course history. Otherwise, when he's playing good golf, he has played good at Quail. Two ninth place finishes, you know, obviously the first. We know how well he's been playing this year. So did you figure it out?
Yep. Circling back, Willie Mack.
That was the guy I left out because I didn't figure that was him.
Yeah. I was wondering, I'm like, there's one more guy. There's four qualifiers. Who is it? He played 27 holes. It says he played 27 holes on the Sunday KFT event in Alabama, got in his car, drove 6 hours to Wells Fargo, arrived after midnight, no practice round, woke up and shot a 65 and qualified. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's very.
That's a grind, man. Yeah. That's a freaking grind. Like, I know it sounds silly and, you know, we all should whatever, but I root for dudes like that. Just not even to win. Just go make like 100K. Go make some cash. Like, you just busted your ass and you're grinding so hard. Like, just go make a nice little paycheck here.
For sure.
Yeah, that's all I'm rooting for. So back in this 9K range, and it's like I said when I introduced him, you can make arguments for all these dudes. I'm always a Carl Morikawa stan, especially when you're looking for approach from 200 plus. He's not the best anymore. He's 12th in the last 24 rounds. He used to be towards the top, but he's still fourth in tee to green, third in approach. It's just putt. Can you freaking putt? That is Carl Morikawa's problem. So he's interesting. I'll say that much. He's very, very interesting. $9,800. I do like Spieth a bit just because every time I say, well, he sucks at hitting fairways, you know, he doesn't play this that good, he finds a way to Spieth it. That's the word I'm going to use. He Spieths it. And he like, come Sunday, he shows up in the top 10. It's just what he does. So he's interesting. I like Max Homa just because he's Homa. And you mentioned the one big thing, ownership wise, could be interesting with Max Homa on this one. But if I have to seclude who I actually want to play this week out of playing all of these guys, I like Vic a lot. He's fourth in my model. He's second off the tee in the last 24 rounds. Ninth on approach. He's fourth in the par fours, 450 to 500. And he's the one thing you need to really look at is he can avoid the bogeys decently. At 21%, he's 21st in the field. It's not great. But if it's not going to be a birdie fest and he can just grind his butt off, that's big. So I like Vic Hovland at 92. And I love Fitzpatrick at 93. I know he's coming off the win at the Heritage, took the week off. He finished 10th of the Masters. He played well in Potomac last time. That was his first time playing the Wells Fargo. But he's another guy that, like, people say, oh, he doesn't drive it far. He doesn't do this or that. Well, he's 39th in the field in driving distance. People forget. Like, you watch him, and even the announcers get, like, blown away. Like, wow, he's like, developed a lot of, you know, club head speed. Now he's hitting the fire. Yeah, he grinds his butt off. Like, he's become a different golfer than he used to be. So, like, the stats aren't catching. Like, they are slowly. He's 39th now. He's catching up. But he's second in bogey avoidance, and he's 21st in the par fours we're looking at. And he's great around the green. So we talk about it time and time again, Jesse. It's like, hey, if it's a low scoring golf tournament, Fitz is there. Fitz is in that kind of an event. So I think he's a fun one that he right now I have projected to be the lowest in this range. So he's a guy I look at. Him and Hovland would be my two, but Hovland's gonna be super chalky, it looks like. So that might be a pivot as well. That's the thing with these big events, just pivot, man. There's so many good plays. Like, you can be, you know, you can eat chalk, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of great pivots too. 8K, JT's 89, Ricky Fowler's up to 88. Cam Young, 87, Burns, 86, Hatton, 85, Tommy Kim at 84, Sahith, I'm Jesse's guy, Thigala at 82, Shane Lowry at 81, Fleetwood and Harmon at 8K. Man, JT still cannot get out of the 8K range in these events.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, this is where Justin Thomas should be able to win, though, and he did in 2017. His current form coming in, I mean, it's not great. And that the other thing that kind of makes me not want to play him is the projected ownership at 18%. Yeah. So he's going to be 15 to 20% owned. I had Ricky checked off. I just don't think I can play Ricky at $8,800. He has had some success around here and he has played really well. He's got three straight top 15s. But like when he was 7,600 at the Heritage, much more reasonable than 8,800 at Quail Hollow, in my opinion. Cam Young is going to be highly owned, apparently. I don't know if you've looked at the odds yet, but he's down to 18 to 1 on DraftKings.
People love them some Cam Young. And, you know, okay, I'm going to say this, and people can think I'm being an a-hole or whatever you want. Cam Young is that guy that everyone's been saying is the best thing, which is great because he's really, really good. I'm not denying that. the second he wins, they're all gonna be like, "Hey, I did it." Then I'm gonna be like, "How much have you lost on him before?" They've been like blowing smoke, and I get it, he's good, but my God, he's not in the same world as those other guys until he proves it. Like, he could be the next Scheffler. That's what I heard someone say on a broadcast recently. But he's got to do it first. Like, let's tone it back.
And that's a lot easier said than done. I mean, to go on a tear like Scotty's gone on, I mean, over the last year, that's like Tiger-esque type shit. Like, and that doesn't happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, I like Cam Young, and I think he's fine. But I don't know if I want to eat that much chalk. I do like Sam Burns, and I think he's a good pivot off of him. He's not really he's had two starts here. I think he WD'd in 2019, finished 55th in 2018. So, but obviously over the last 2 years, he's been playing a lot better golf than he was in 19 or 18. Cut off a 15th place finish at the Heritage, made the cut at the Masters, finished 30th, 6th at the Valspar. He's starting to figure it out. And when he starts ball striking, like, this is the type of golfer that you want to play at Wells Fargo, because bombs away, this is what you need, versus, you know, at wherever the fuck else they play. And it's, you know, the winning score is 20 under. Thigala is definitely playable at 8,200. His putter scares me a little bit, because he can, like, just have some moments where he has some absolutely terrible putts. But two straight top 10s for Sahith is pretty good when those two events are the Masters and the Heritage.
Yeah,
really good. And then Tommy Fleetwood at 8,000. 14th here in 21, missed cut in 18, 17, he finished 61st. So not great, but he did finish 14th his last time here. Come off the 15th place finish at the Heritage. Tommy's playing real good golf, and we know how good a ball striker he is. He doesn't have to make 20 birdies this week. He can make 10 and make the cut and, you know, finish somewhere in the top 20.
Yeah, this is the range. Like I said, you can differentiate or you can play chalk early. That's fine. This range is where I can really, like, you know, JT, Ricky, Cam Young, chalk, 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 chalk. I just slide on down and take some of these next two. That's just my two cents. Like you said, JT's built for this golfer. He's second in my model, and I'm saying this just because there's, like, we talk about it all the time, like, and I especially talk about it with my DFS for baseball. Like, the model's going to tell you one thing, but then there's, like, the eye test, and JT ain't right. So it's like, yeah, he's striking this, he's doing that, whatever, but he just ain't right. He just fits this course very well, so of course he's going to project very well. And if he wins, no one will be shocked. That's great. But if I'm going to try to, like, go for the gusto, I'm going to go for a lower owned guy, and Sam Burns is a dude. I'm glad you pointed him out. And he's 40th in my model, but, you know, we talk about a guy that can bombs away. You mentioned all his recent form. This is, like, if he was coming in the way he was, like, 2 years ago, maybe, or a year ago.
Last year.
Puta, he'd be, like, $9,500. And everyone would want to play him, not Cam Young. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, Sam Burns. And what was it? He got a new driver or something we were talking about a few weeks back or whatever. And
yeah, his driver cracked or something, like, in during the West Coast swing, I think.
Yeah, Riviera or something.
Yeah, and he missed the cut at the Genesis, missed the cut at API, and then he's made every cut since the four
starts. Getting better and better each time too. Right. So yeah, 100% with you on Sam Burns. I like that play a ton. Then it gets fun. Like, so Heath, I have checked off. He's 21st in my model. If I can give you any solace on his putting, because yes, it's nasty. Over the last 24 rounds, he's 19th on this field. So that makes sense for his great finishes. We also know putting can vary quickly from event to event, but that's good. So I do like Sahith at 82. And then I'm with you on Tommy Fleetwood. He's 41st in my model. He's 9th around the green. His tee to green game is 10th in the field. He's played really good golf. You mentioned his current form here. So definitely a guy I like with Fleetwood as well. The guy I'm having trouble trying to figure out is Brian Harman. Coming in like less than 5% projected ownership for now. He finished 9th at Potomac, 18th, 24th, 74th, and 1 in 2017. At Quail Hollow.
No, Quail, it wasn't a Quail in 17. It was at Wilmington, North Carolina. But yeah.
The three in between, he played really well.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, he finished seventh at the Heritage after just like a run of just bad golf. But he's a guy that it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, was playing really good golf.
He had back to back top twos in November of 22.
So it just feels like, man, like, is this the guy in a tournament that you jump on now, less than 5% ownership? If even T20s, you're like jumping over the moon. So he's a guy I'm definitely going to probably have sprinkled around a little bit in my lineups. And I'm just really battling. Like, you look at his numbers and they suck. Like, they're really bad. That seventh of the Heritage, of course, that was a course fit for him. This is also a place he likes to play at. So I'm trying to see, like, talk to myself and go that direction. Maybe I'm just trying to wishful thinking here, but we'll see. 75-79. You got Cooch at 79. Corey Connors at 79. Wyndham Clark at 78. Keith Mitchell, 78. Keegan at 77. Siwoo at 77. Taylor Montgomery, Gary Woodland, Taylor Moore at 76. Davis Riley, Patrick Rogers, Cam Davis, and Chris Kirk at 75. Now it's starting to get a little bit different.
Yeah. It's a major drop off. Kuchar at 79. He's 2 of 4 made cuts here. He finished ninth here in his last start, which was 2017. But then he had a 7-year gap back to 2010, miscut, 62nd in consecutive years. So it's kind of weird, but Cooch is playing pretty good golf right now. 19th Heritage, 3rd Texas Open, so 7,900, not terrible. I keep playing Keith Mitchell, dude, like every week, and it's so annoying to watch him. I just be terrible whenever I play him. I do like him this week, though. He's 3 out of 3 made cuts at Quail Hollow. Very solid. 2 straight top 10s at Quail Hollow. Coming off a missed cut at the Heritage, played the Masters, played like shit on the weekend. The Players, whatever. I mean, just it's just been a weird stretch for Keith. I feel like it was setting up earlier in the year to be much, much better, and he's just kind of had a little bit of a letdown. So, but Keith is fine. Woodland, 7,600, finished 5th here in 21. 2 consecutive missed cuts before that, but before that he made the cut 4 straight times. So the course history is pretty good, and he has made 5 consecutive cuts on tour, including last week he played Mexico, and his putter's just atrocious. So the ball striking's there. If the putter comes around, is it a Patrick Rogers week?
That's what I'm struggling with, because I did pretty well with it a couple weeks ago with P. Rod. He fell apart on Sunday. I'll say that much, but I did well. He finished 19th at the Heritage, and I said that was a fun one. 5th of Valero. He's coming in really good form. He has made 2 straight cuts here. I'd say, yes, we're on P-Rodge, just because of the form is really good. Really good, and he's not expensive. Just make the cut. Just make the freaking cut. So I'm going to go P-Rodge here. It's just scary because he's got that thing where he can play like 2.5 to 3 good rounds, but he can't put 4 together.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is Patrick Rogers.
You know, but I mean, like, you want to win a GPP, he's probably not the guy you want to play. Well, but if you just want to cash in a GPP, he could be the guy you want to play.
If you just want to have potentially a Sunday sweat, maybe he's, you know, inside the top 10 before he shoots 80 on Sunday. Yeah, sure. You know?
And then
you're just so mad at the world. All right. Well, so it's P. Rogers week. And last but not least for me, Cameron Davis, 26th here in 21, missed the cut in 2019, 7th at the Heritage, missed cut Texas. 6th Players Championship, 5 straight missed cuts before that. I think he's getting it figured out. I mean, like, he's boom or bust. He's GPP only, obviously, but $7,500. I would be willing to take a chance with Cam Davis this week, especially if I'm playing 150 lineups. I'm going to put, you know, at least 10 to 15 Cam Davis lineups in there.
Yeah, I don't hate that. He's the total boom or bust guy, like you said. So that's strong for me. I think Cooch is very intriguing at $7,800. The course history, the recent form hasn't been horrible. Coming in basically no ownership at all. Like Keith Mitchell. Wyndham Clark's the fun one because everyone loved him last week in that bad field in Mexico. Now he's down to $7,800. He's 8th in my model. He's 7th in approach. He's 3rd in bogey avoidance in this field. He's 20th in the proximity we're looking for. He's top 40 in a lot of other stats we're looking for. Projected to be about 12% owned, which is not great in this range, but not bad. So Wyndham Clark is one that I'm definitely keeping my eye on as someone I like. I like Keith a little more. I like Keegan Bradley. I'll go back to him. I know Potomac is where he played really well, but 18th, missed cut 76 the last 3 years here. And he's a guy that has been grinding out these elevated events, 24th in Mexico, 29th at the Heritage, 6th at Punta – or no, it's Wyndham Clark. 48th at the Heritage, 23rd at the Masters, played well at Farmers – and Genesis, I even think he finished pretty well. Also, he's a guy I don't mind at $7,700. When you look at ownership coming in, he's about 11% right now, give or take. So he's another guy that shouldn't be too bad, hopefully. And then I love the Gary Woodland call. He's 5th in my model. He's playing really good. You mentioned the 5 straight made cuts, course history. The 5 straight made cuts, they check the boxes on what's going on. And, you know, I've been guilty of it before. I know a lot of other people have, that you think Gary Woodland is just like 3-wood stinger, dude. He's 14th in the field in driving distance. He can pipe it when he needs to. Oh, yeah. So keep an eye on Woodland at 76. That's a dude I like. And I got P. Rodge checked off at 75. So, yes, P. Rodge is there. All right, 7K to 74. Who you liking?
Start all the way down 72. I don't like really anybody in this range that great. But Bo Hostler, 3 of 3 made cuts at Quail and 3 straight made cuts on tour. Ben Martin at $7,100. He finished 11th here last year, or the last time they played at Quail, 21. 2 missed cuts before that, but then 2 made cuts before that. And he's not missed a cut since the Farmers back in January. So just kind of plug along, playing really good golf. Has some top 10 sprinkled in there, not necessarily in these types of events, but he did make the cut at the Players. Played last week, made the cut. Harris English at $7,100. 4 of 4 made cuts at Quail Hollow. 2 straight made cuts on tour. Every time I play him, he misses the cut. So just keep that in mind. Ben On, 3 of 5 made cuts at Quail. He did miss the cut here last year. His best finish is 28th. That was in 2017, but playing really good golf. He finished 6th at the Texas Open a couple weeks back. Played last week in Mexico, made the cut. Really hasn't missed a cut since the RSM back in November. He withdrew from the Arnold Palmer after shooting 75. I mean, it was probably going to be a miscut, but it's not technically a miscut. And then Matt Wallace at 7,000, finished 6th here the last time they played at Quail Hollow, but has missed back-to-back cuts. And in both of those tournaments, he shot 77, which is not great.
Not ideal, to say the least. For me, I'm looking at guys like Emiliano Grillo at $7,400. He's coming in improved, is the way I'll say it. 5th at Mexico, 7th at Heritage, 53rd at Valero, 70th at Punta. He's made at least 4 straight cuts. You know, you look at tournament history, that's a different story with Grillo at 14th and 21, 9th and 18. So you got that going for you. Didn't play in 19 here, and he didn't play at Potomac. But Grillo is interesting at 74. Buckley at 7,400 as well. This is a guy that's coming in with a 5th at the Heritage, 10th at the Valero, which is outstanding for Hayden Buckley. And when you look at his overall stat lines, you know, he's 22nd in my model. He's 7th in the par 4 scoring we're looking at here. He's decent on his approach game. Nothing like glaringly bad, which is what I like at $7,400. And I mentioned the recent form is very, very strong. Jägerbombs at 73, 9th in my model. Guy can crush it, of course, is in his name. Volatile as all hell. So he's a really fun GPP play, I'll put it that way. But contending very well. Another guy that can bomb it as well is Kitayama at 72. So he's interesting to me for tournaments. These are tournament only plays for me. You mentioned Benny On and Ben Martin. I like them a lot. Martin's play actually almost cash relevant, to be honest. But Martin and Benny On are both in play. And then the last guy I'll mention, because I had to look into it because he was 7th in my model. I'm like, what in the world's going on here? Is Sam Stevens. He's 7th in my model.
Who?
He's 17th off the tee. He's $7,000. He's 18th from proximity, 175 to 200. He's 10th in par fours, 450 to 500. He's 15th in opportunities gained. Driving distance, 29th. 34th in bogey avoidance. I'm sitting here going, what in the world's going on here with Stevens? And then you look at his recent form. Miscut at the Heritage, 2nd at the Valero, 3rd at the Punta Cana. So that Punta Cana one probably helped the stats out pretty good. I'm just going to throw that out there. Does, but at 7K, I'll take my chances.
Does he usually play on the is he Corn Ferry guy or something?
I'm assuming so, because let me click on his name here. I'll give you the whole rundown on what the heck's going on here. But Valero, Puerto Rico, you played the Honda, missed the cut, 34th at AT&T, 13th at Farmers, 67th at the Amex. Didn't play a bunch of Corn Ferries. Kind of a last Corn Ferry he played was last September. He got his card.
I got you. Well, I'm assuming that this is a data mismatch because they. Labs has him as Samuel Stevens. And then
that's
on,
who I have, yeah.
But on PJTour.com, it's Sam Stevens. And, yeah, huh.
Yeah, he writes out really, really well. So I'm like, huh, 7th at $7,000? I at least have to, like, look into you a little bit here. Like, that's hard to find in this field. So
I can't wait to not play him and then see him shoot probably 65 on Thursday.
I won't text you at all because then if I did, he'd shoot 77 on Friday. Who you liking in the 6K range?
Aaron Rye at 6,900. He's coming off a miscut. I mean, dude, I played him last week at like $8,900. I had 5 of 6, and fucking Aaron Rye was the miscut.
Wow.
Just tilt me to death. Dylan Wu at 6,700. Hasn't missed a cut since the Farmers back in January. A couple top 15s, 1 top 10 in there. Coming off a 15th place finish in Mexico. He's never played here. A lot of these guys in this range have never played here, but Harry Hall is another guy, 3 straight made cuts on tour, 10th last week in Mexico, 13th in at Corrales a couple weeks back. I mean, you could play guys like Kevin Streelman, who's played here before, and James Hahn, who's won here before, but in reality, I'm not going to play any of these guys. Toasty is a dude at $6,500. So, like, I wasn't super plugged in last week, but dude was 20% owned in Mexico.
What?
At $6,500. I don't even know. Maybe he's coming off the Corn Ferry, or he's like in college, one of the two. Nick Watney, another guy. And then last but not least, Carson Young at 6,100. If you're all the way down here in 6,100 land, I do like Carson Young. 2 straight top 20s for Carson Young on the PGA Tour, including 15th last week, 19th at the Heritage. The dude is pretty good. It's just a matter of him being, you know, getting it all together.
Yeah, I had Carson checked off as well. $6,200. Like, if you're just going full YOLO for a punt, that's not a bad punt, like Jesse said. So that's one you could look at. Will Gordon, $6,900. He's 16th in my model. He's 3rd in proximity. He's 7th in driving distance in this field. And when you look at, like, we were playing him a lot on the West Coast, but he finished 24th in Mexico, missed cut at the Valero, 36th at Valspar. So you got a little bit of that going for you. Missed the cut here in 2021. Luke List has made at least 5 straight cuts in the Wells Fargo. He made the last 3 years at Quail Hollow, 6th, 65th, 9th. I'll take my chances there. Back-to-back missed cuts before 39th at the Valero. So his form's horrific. Course history, pretty, pretty good. Some other guys that I think are interesting. Joseph Bramlett is a guy, 10th in driving distance, if you want to play the bomber narrative think that works. Bramlett does check the – because he can get those birdies going. You're not going to get a ton of them here, but he can bombs away. 10th of Mexico, missed cut of Valero, 36th of Valspar as well for Bramlett. So he'd be one to peek at and miss his cut here. A few others, like, it's not great. I want to play Lonto so bad because of his history here, but he's playing horrific golf right now. He's still hurt, I think. I didn't even check. I usually check off a bunch here. It was them and Carson Young. I did not even bother. I'm like, I'm not going to try to argue these. Like you said, yeah, you could do these. Like, I agree, you could. I'm going to try damnedest not to.
No.
I guess if I have to throw one name out there, just because he's been so consistently good, is Dylan Wu. I'll mention him. At $6,700, 15th in Mexico, 39th of Valero, 16th of Punta Cana, 58th of Valspar. He's a making cut machine. I don't know if he's got enough to really get the gusto, but at his price point at $6,700, like, he finished 62nd at Potomac last year, hasn't played a quail. I think he's kind of interesting if you just want a guy that can make a cut for you, but I'd rather not be here as well. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, who you got?
Xander.
I'll go Patrick Cantlay and his timer, 9K range.
Homa.
I like that. I'm going to go Fitz. Fitz at 93, 8K.
Burns.
I love the Burns call. So, yeah, I'm just going to go with you on Burns. We're going to double up on Burns. 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Keith Mitchell.
I'll go Keegan Bradley. Ooh, I should have gone here. I'll keep my mouth shut. 7K to 74.
Ben Martin.
That's a good one. I will go with I'll go Emiliano Grillo. And then 6K if you have to. Actually, I'll go Sam Stevens in the 7K range. Sorry, Sam Stevens. 6K.
Dylan Wu.
There you go. I'll go with Will Gordon if you got to go there. All right. If you're building the cash lineup this week, where are you starting out?
I mean, probably Victor Hovland. I don't know, man. Like, this – the problem is, like, the 7K range is not, like, super – there's nobody who I want to, like, lock in. Gary Woodland is probably as close as you can get there in the 7K range. And then in 8K, I want to say Tommy Fleetwood, but it's a little bit scary with Tommy just because I feel like he could shoot one over and miss the cut or three over and miss the cut. You know, I mean, like, just not make a – like, make 2 birdies and have a couple really bad holes and miss the cut.
Yep.
And a shit ton of pars.
Shit ton of bars. For me, I will go with a Fitzpatrick with a Kuchar just to make the cut and a Gary Woodland. That's where I'll go on that one. Now, if you're playing GPPs, it gets fun. How are you starting those out?
I like Homa, Burns, and Ben Martin.
Yep. I'm going Fitz, Burns, and where'd he go? Go Fitz, Burns, and Sam Stevens. Let's go that route. All right. The moment everyone waits for on this show. DraftKings Sportsbook picks to win. Rory McIlroy's plus 7-1. Cantlay 12-1. Finau 14. Xander 16. Hovland 18. Spieth 18. Cam Young 18. Who you like this week?
Homa 28. I mean, I don't know. He's won here before.
Burns is 30.
Yeah, Burns at 30, though. I mean, like, I'd rather double down on Homa. Like, Burns hasn't won recently. Homa's won this year.
True.
It's tough, man. I mean, like, really, is Cam Davis really 80-1 to win this? He should be 120-1.
Yeah, like he should be like 80-1 to top 10, maybe, or top 5, but not not win the whole thing.
Right. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of these odds.
Because the cream has risen to the top in all of these events, and Vegas seems like it's caught on to it. Like, okay, guy's here. You're not getting good odds on this,
right? Right. Yeah. That's the way it is. That's all I got.
I'd say Sungji at 25 and Morikawa at 22 are interesting just because they're outside. Like, Fitz at 22. I just can't do those guys. Like, Vic, I love, but 18-1 when I could go get like one of these, like you mentioned, Homa at 28, you know, even JT's 22. Everyone's going to bet. Like, yeah, it's tricky. Tricky to say the least. Maybe you can make some head to head matchups or just play some DraftKings. That's a way to go as well. So, what are your final thoughts for the week, Quail Hollow?
I don't have any. This is actually a really good tournament though. So
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to tuning back in this week after taking a few weeks off.
Yes.
It should be fun. And we'll be back with you guys next week, barring my internet going out or something like that. make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press. I am at BD Intric. And this was your Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2023 Wells Fargo Championship. Catch you guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I had the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute.
No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com. Save big.